Genesis 33 on Through the Word, and the showdown has arrived. Jacob and Esau, the grudge match that waited two decades, and finally the face-off is here. Jacob ran from home with nothing after conniving and deceiving his way into the family birthright and the father's blessing. Jacob realized that he had pulled the last straw, and big brother Esau was fit to kill. Jacob ran and never looked back. 20 years later, in trembling obedience to God, Jacob is headed for home. He truly believes that his entire family is in mortal jeopardy. He spent the entire night wrestling with God and walked away with a limp. The sun has risen, and the showdown begins at verse 1. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau was coming, and 400 men with him. So he divided the children among Leah and Rachel and the two female servants. He himself went on before them, bowing himself to the ground 7 times, until he came near his brother. Now there's a good switch. A day earlier, Jacob was hiding at the back of the pack. Perhaps his face-off with God changed the way he deals with fear. Jacob finally limps his way into the lead, which is a great picture for any dad. Humility and courage together. Then in verse 4, the moment arrives. But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Well now, that went better than expected. Now don't get confused here. It says that Esau fell on his neck. This is not Esau's kung fu surprise. Fall on the neck! Yeah! Actually, fall on the neck is Bible talk for a big throw your arms around the neck hug. This is reunion time. Two brothers reunited at last. Now wait a second here. What happened to the big showdown? Where's the fight? We had all this tension and buildup. The grudge match 20 years in the making. And all we get is one fall on the neck? And that's just a hug. Where's the battle? Where's the fight? The fight was settled in chapter 32, when Jacob wrestled it out with God himself. There's a real insight here. When a man will wrestle it out with his Creator and find his peace there, he will be amazed at the peace he finds with his brothers. There is a saying that a man has to battle his demons, but I believe that's a mistake. It's a fight we'll never win. It is with God that we must wrestle, and with whom we must find our peace. Romans 5 says that since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then Romans 12 says, as much as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Notice that the peace with God comes first. Then in verse 5, and when Esau lifted up his eyes and saw the women and children, he said, who are these with you? Jacob said, the children whom God has graciously given your servant. So Jacob presents the whole family, and all of them bow humbly in their turn. Notice that Jacob is very careful to give all credit to the grace of God for all that he has. Jacob knows that he had nothing and that he deserves nothing, yet God is so good. And then Esau wants to know the story on the 550 animals that he received as gifts. In verse 8, Esau said, what do you mean by all this company that I met? Jacob answered, to find favor in the sight of my Lord. But Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself. Jacob said, no, please. If I have found favor in your sight, then accept my present from my hand. For I have seen your face, which is like seeing the face of God. And you have accepted me. Please accept my blessing that I brought to you, because God has dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. Thus he urged him, and he took it. So Esau respectfully declines the gift, but Jacob insists, and notice again that Jacob credits everything he has to the grace of God. Esau, on the other hand, never bows and never once credits God for anything he has. Pay attention as you read. Esau is very polite here, forgiving and hospitable, and showing some real maturity. All of it is commendable, but there is never once a sign of faith in God. Hebrews 12 describes Esau as unholy or godless. Remember that Esau is a picture of the flesh. A godless and fleshly man can be refined and even noble, but it does not make him good. We are justified through faith, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. One more thing to notice from Jacob. In verse 10, he says that seeing Esau is like seeing the face of God. Now, how did that happen? Esau, Jacob's lifetime rival, the one he tricked, the reminder of his worst sin, the one who wanted to kill him. the source of his trembling fear literally the night before. So how on earth is seeing Esau like seeing the face of God? And remember, Jacob saw God face to face the night before, and he was amazed to still be alive. He even renamed the place Peniel, which means face of God. Now as Jacob comes face to face, not with God, but with his greatest fear, with his brother and with all the regret of his past, he is again amazed to still be alive. So why is seeing Esau like seeing God's face? Because he sees God has already gone before him. Not the gifts, not the servants, but God had already settled things. Jacob knew God did this. It were as though God was standing there looking at him and smiling. God had worked it out all along. And now Jacob sees God even when he doesn't see God. And that is the walk of faith. If you fear God, you need fear nothing else. And in verse 12, then Esau said, "Let us journey on our way, and I will go ahead of you." And here, something funny happens. Esau wants to walk together, back to Seir, which is where he lives. Jacob insists that he will be too slow with all of his young ones. "You go on ahead, and I'll meet you there." Only Jacob never goes to Seir. Either he was lying, or he just got scared again. We don't know. Some Bible teachers say Jacob is backsliding here, still afraid of his brother, and back to deceptions. Others say Jacob did the right thing, apart from the lie, of course, that Jacob shouldn't be yoked together with ungodly Esau. What do I think? I honestly don't know. Sometimes it's hard to tell, but you should definitely read it for yourself. As you do, notice one last key element in the final verse. Jacob had moved his family to Shechem, and in verse 20, there he erected an altar and called it El Elohe Israel. The name of the altar here means God, the God of Israel. This is a profound statement for Jacob. He's laying claim to his new name, Israel, which means governed by God, or possibly wrestles with God. Again, I don't know, but you can wrestle with it. More importantly, though, Jacob calls God the God of Israel. Every time until now, he has called God the God of Abraham or of Isaac, only of his fathers. But now Jacob claims both his new name and God as his own God. God has fulfilled his promise and Jacob's requests, and Jacob responds with an altar. God is his God now, and his life belongs to God alone.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.